We understand you can't listen to all 4 hours of the show. That's why we have Scheman and Shepherd on demand. Download us whenever at 993ESPN.com or on iTunes. This is Scheman and Shepherd on 993ESPN.
Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN, and the 99.3 ESPN app. Good jam, starting off on the 5 o'clock hour.
Right.
You're not going to rap, are you?
Maybe.
Chris Mars will be joining us in a few minutes. He's going to be broadcasting the Bucks and the Dolphins on Friday.
What you see is what you hear is not a test.
Now what you hear is not a test. I'm rapping to the beat. And me, the groove, and my friends are going
to know every word to the song.
Apparently you don't anymore.
I am on demand, and I'd like to say hello. Hello!
Hello! 5 o'clock hour. Here we go. We are efforting Chris Myers, and we'll talk to him in just a bit as he gets ready to broadcast the Bucks and the Dolphins. They've been doing joint practices for the past couple of days, and we'll take it from there. That's going to be broadcast on Friday. Of course, we'll have the Buccaneers radio broadcast right here on 99.3 ESPN and the Dolphins on our sister station. So anyway, that's where we're at right now. 239-337 ESPN, 239-337-3776 is the number.
After we talk to Chris, we do have some more lists, and some we didn't get to. These are the most interesting ones that Irvin Magic Johnson has tweeted out for his 60th birthday. He's got more now. 60 people have helped me in business and basketball. Now, this one he says in no particular order. This would be a laugh. 60 people have helped Magic in basketball. Some names you know, some names I have no idea. That's a boring one.
Yeah.
Well, we'll get to his top 60 music groups. I think we'll hit that one first, and then maybe some hip-hop afterwards.
All right. Yeah. Give me the list. Hit me.
Oh, for music groups?
Sure.
All right. Now, again, these top eight don't or nine don't appear to be in alphabetical order. Then he gets sloppy and goes alphabetical. So Magic's top 60 music groups. Now, there's like nothing on here like the Doors or the Beatles or Led Zeppelin or it does. It's just I don't know what I mean. Music groups, that's sort of vague, isn't it?
Yeah,
music groups.
Yeah,
but here we have. All right, number one on his top 60 music groups is the Jackson 5. Numbers two is Earth, Wind, and Fire. Three is the OJs. Four is Commodores. Five, LTD. Six, Frankie, Beverly, and Maze. Seven is 112. Eight, Average White Band. Nine is Blackstreet. 10, Bloodstone. And now it gets to be alphabetized. You know, he's got the Four Tops at 28, the Gap Band at 29, the Daz Band sang Whip It at 19.
What's the name of the band that sang Whip It?
Daz Band, D-A-Z-Z, yeah.
What about Devo? They sang Whip It back in the day. That's the one I remember.
I should say, let me rephrase. Let It Whip was the Daz Band.
Oh,
Let It Whip was the Daz
Band.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Gotcha.
He has Hall & Oates at 32. Hall & Oates.
I like Hall & Oates.
Yeah. But it's inconsistent with his other bands here. Midnight Star. Parliament Funkadelic at 45. The Pointer Sisters at 46.
I love the Pointer Sisters.
The SOS Band, number 51. Take the time, do it right. We can do it, baby.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good song.
I got to put an end to this right now.
Extended version.
I got something better. I got Chris Myers on line one. Chris Myers, NFL on Fox, MLB on Fox, NASCAR on Fox, and your TV play-by-play announcer for the Buccaneers preseason. Chris Myers, how's your summer been, man? How are you?
Hey, Chris.
It's good to talk to you guys again. I'm doing fine. I'm sitting in Tampa. We had a little rain shower, got a little humidity, so we're ready to go for the Bucs preseason home opener at Raymond James on Friday night against the Dolphins.
What do you think of the new facility up there indoors?
Oh, it's a great the One Buc Place, the Advent Health Center, especially for the training camp. It's outstanding, and having the stadium nearby. Of course, Raymond James renovated with different phases for the Super Bowl in a couple of years. So it'll be good to get a good look at that. And the Super Bowl is in at Hard Rock Stadium in Miami this year, where they just kind of went through their renovation.
Chris, what are your thoughts on Jameis Winston so far? A lot of people are saying he's improved. I know we only had like six passes to gauge from last week, but are you buying it? I mean, he's got to be improved, or else he's not going to be around.
Yes, good point. And it's way too early to tell. You know, we've said this. I've done these preseason games for the last 10 or 12. With Jameis, we've kind of said this every year, and then things happen. You know, when it counts, when you need to win games. And that's why Bruce Arians is here. We've had coaching changes and offensive coordinator changes. So, I mean, in your fifth year here, you should know what you have at a quarterback. And yet I still think he was the better pick over Mariota when you talk about it. And he did a quarterback, and he's got all the physical tools, and he works hard. He's a good guy. You talk to him. He's a young guy who straightened things out in his life. So I expect him to have, and I don't want to hear excuses about, well, this wasn't great, the defense, or he had different coordinators, or he's got an outstanding group of receivers, some of the tallest, most talented receivers with Evans, O.J. Howard, a tight end. Yeah, there's not a great running game, but, quarterbacks need to have success finding their receivers. So with Bruce Arians, I find that part fascinating. I think he'll probably have the best head coach with an offensive mind and an understanding of quarterbacks that he's ever had. It's not to knock the other guys. It's just that Arians, as you know, has had success with people like Peyton Manning and Carson Palmer and Luck and so on. So I'm expecting big things from Winston and this offense this year. And he's got to really step up and be healthy enough and be into it mentally enough and deliver what the coach wants in a critical situation.
Can't see a lot of video what's going on the last couple of days, Chris, but I know Minka Fitzpatrick, the defensive back for the Dolphins, has had Winston. I think I'm up to five picks. I might be off by one, but he certainly has been his nemesis in practice.
Yeah, they're doing well. I know that's a concern, right? Because that's Jameis, and he had that problem as good as he was at FSU. He's so good, thinks he can force the ball, and you turn it over. And at the NFL level, he's had that same problem. Too many turnovers, whether it's hanging in the pocket, surviving a pass rush and fumbling. But yeah, the scrimmages. And this is something the Bucs and Dolphins wanted to do to set this up for a couple of days this week, have the head-to-head scrimmages, and then the game on Friday. It really helps, gets extra work in for a lot of the guys on the coaching staff to see what's going on. And, Brian, the new coach with the Dolphins comes from the Patriots as their defensive coordinator. So he's got a defensive mind for any quarterback, knowing how to match up against him. And I'm not sure what kind of team the Dolphins will have. They have their own problems at quarterback and offense where they have Ryan Fitzpatrick, who started last year for the Bucs, and then Josh Rosen. But their defense, yeah, they could scheme you, and that's not a good sign if Winston can't even get through scrimmages. Again, I don't think we can nitpick practices and preseason games, but when it starts in the regular season, that'll be a better gauge. But I think Winston has all the tools. The interesting part about this year with Bruce Arians is he's always been a go for it downfield, air it out. Let's hit the big play, home run ball. And he's had to kind of come in with Jameis and turn him the other way and say, look, you need to check it down once in a while, and you need to you don't have to make every play. You have a team around you, so it's a little bit of a different adjustment for him and Leftwich, who's the new offensive coordinator, who thinks like Arians. Leftwich is going to call the plays, which I think I would feel better with Arians doing it, but they're on the same page, and Arians will have a call. So I think that'll be interesting to watch as this Bucs team goes forward.
Talking with Chris Myers here with Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN. What's plan B for the backup between Blaine Gabbert and Ryan Griffin? And I think Ryan Griffin is an interesting story. I know Dirk Cutter was always high on him. They always kept him around every year. You and Gene Deckerhoff have probably seen more Ryan Griffin throws than anybody in the country. We always see him in August, and then we never see him again.
Yeah, he's never thrown a pass, right? And this is what, he's 29 years old. He's never thrown a pass in an NFL game. I said he's the Peyton Manning of August. His performance in that two quarters or plus or whatever in Pittsburgh was outstanding with third unit offensive linemen and receivers, and he had good numbers out of college. Actually, Sean Payton liked him when the Saints had him on their roster, and then they did well, but the Bucs kind of picked him off from there, and he's been reliable enough, but he's never been able to get into a game for various reasons, and now it's a tough spot. Now, in his history, Bruce Arians has carried three quarterbacks, but I don't know in this spot. Gabbert's kind of ahead in the backup spot, and Arians leans towards veterans who know his offense, and he's been in that system and is very comfortable with Gabbard. But I just think that you're going to lose a guy like Griffin, and somebody will give him a shot somewhere to play in an NFL game. I will say this, there were a couple of key spots in some preseason games where Gene Deckerhoff, the great radio voice of the Bucks, and I saw where Griffin could have really excelled when he had the main unit in, and he didn't step up, and that maybe the previous coaching staff saw that. Mm-hmm. We saw that. Maybe that's why we're saying, hey, why hasn't this happened yet? But I do think, as Arian said, and he said this about Ronald Jones, the running back, I don't know what these guys did last year. I mean, I know what the record was, but I'm judging each player on this Bucks roster by what they're doing now in training camp and what I see. And so that could be an encouraging sign for Griffin as well as it has been for Ronald Jones, a running back.
Well, Bruce Arians sounded a little agitated today. He sent a message, it seemed, about the 90-man roster, saying it'd be easy to cut down to 60 right now. So I'm asking you, from your perspective, the difference in the culture and the mood of the organization from Cutter to Arians, and you were there, you've been there, so
true, and even going back, through Greg Schiano and Raheem Morris, and when Lovie Smith was here, and I like Arians. I've covered his teams in Arizona, and even when he went to the championship game and lost to the Panthers a few years ago, when the Carolina Panthers went on into the Super Bowl and lost the Broncos, And he's got his band around him. I think Todd Bowles, to me, what made this deal so good for the Bucks, obviously hiring Arians to see what you got in your quarterback, because then you got to make a decision if you're going to draft one next year or sign Jameis long term, and this is his best chance. But getting Todd Bowles, who's been a head coach, had a rough spot. I don't judge him by the one loss results with the Jets as a head coach, but he's an outstanding defensive coordinator. He'll get this defense. Will make terrific leaps and bounds compared to where they have been the last few years, even with some limited talent. And, that comment from Arians, I think he's upset a little bit about, the lack of depth. They have some injuries at the safety spot. The offensive line hasn't really come together. I don't think they're kind of pulling pieces together. So there just isn't the kind of depth in spots that this team needs. And I think he's also very upset. This is from a team that hired their own referee consultant, a former NFL official, to help with replay challenges and coach the team on penalties. And then the 14 penalties, I think, off the top of my head from last week. I know a lot of this is special teams and mixing up 90 players, but that's just inexcusable. And so that's another thing that I think he's been very upset about. So the culture, I think it's optimistic, it's confident, but I can say that I didn't see that in Dirk Cutter. I saw the same kind of thing. Yeah. With their cutter, and they got off to the good start last year, and then things the wheels came off. So the defense will be better. I think we can count on that. I think Jameis and Arians, that combo with the set of receivers they have, should be better. Is it better than the teams in the division? And you got to beat your division opponents. Can they beat Carolina? Can they beat the Saints? Can they beat Atlanta? I think they can, and then how they do otherwise will tell whether this team is a playoff contender or even, a 500 team.
Chris Myers is with us from the NFL on Fox and, of course, the Buccaneers preseason TV play-by-play announcer. As you prepare for this game, obviously you know what Ryan Fitzpatrick can do. I haven't seen him last year, and you just mentioned him a moment ago. How about the other side? What do you, a guy that covers the NFL, expect out of Josh Rosen as far as his ability to compete? I know you also saw him in his college days in your hometown of Los Angeles at UCLA. Do you expect anything out of him, or are they back to, tanking for Tua and going to do this all over again next year?
Yeah, they're in an awkward spot. And I, as a native Floridian, a guy who was born here, grew up here before I moved on, I always loved the Dolphins Bucks, even in the preseason, just as a football fan. So there's a lot of fun with this matchup. But I think they're in a different kind of quarterback quandary. They traded for Rosen to see and say, okay, we could develop. And yet they aren't convinced enough right now. My vibe is that he's not going to be, if you had to name your starter, it's Fitzpatrick. But it's the same thing I saw at UCLA, and I even talked to some people who scouted him there, and I did a few of his games, and then did a game with when Rosen was at Arizona, and there's some skill there. There's a certain strong arm. He can make the big league throws that you need to make, and yet he's just there's something lacking about the leadership of that position. And he's a confident guy when you talk to him. And we've heard about, and I think it's unfair to say, some personality issues or problems, away from away from the actual game. I haven't seen that myself, and Larry Fitzgerald defended him in that part last year. Mm-hmm. But I think they're not sold, and they're going to have to wait. They're going to wait this out and see if they need to use him this year. But if they want to win games, meaning the Dolphins, I think they're going to go with Fitzpatrick at this point. But I think Rosen could play in the NFL. Would be a star in the NFL. I wouldn't bet on that.
Well, he certainly, and I agree with you, the UCLA analogy came up yesterday, and Brian Flores was clearly, was expecting a little bit more because he talked about body language. And,
yep.
You know, it's great when things are going well. We say this all the time in professional sports. It's not the character and the leadership when things are going well. It's when things are not going so well. And he's got to stop, I don't know, for lack of a better term, moping around a little bit after a drop ball or if he screws up or whatever. I think that's what, you know, I'm certainly going to be watching for that on, on Friday night.
Yeah, and I think we use the term maturity, and, maybe that's unfair, but that's our pouting, and I know where you're going with that. I think people are getting our description, just like a coaching staff is. You've got to handle that better because you're a leader of men, or at least they're counting on you. But remember, Cam Newton, as good as he was, we would see him do that on the sidelines of Carolina, the towel on the head, and that type of thing. So body language is one thing, delivering. When you need it, and a quarterback, he's got to win some games himself sometimes. I mean, whether you're Brady or Manning or whoever, whether it's, diving for the first down or ad-libbing on a play that breaks down to in a key spot. And the guys who have that, they're the ones who win more. And I don't know that Rosen has shown that even in college, actually, but he does have the physical skills, even though he's not a strong, big, bulky kind of guy. He certainly got the arm and the accuracy. And that's the other thing, the accuracy he does have, which a lot of quarterbacks don't with big arms. We just haven't seen it on display on a regular basis.
Chris Myers is with us, going to be broadcasting the Bucs and the Dolphins Friday, also with the NFL on Fox and with your coverage of the NFL over the years. I'd like to pick your brain on some other things going on, too. I know John Gruden, and, we see what we see on Hard Knocks and his public statements yesterday about A.B., seemed very, almost a bend over backwards to be very supportive of him. I would imagine, I've only met Gruden once, you know him better than I do, it's got to be tearing him up that this guy can't get on a practice field for silly reasons. What's your whole spin on this?
Yeah, and first of all, John Gruden is good TV. He was as an announcer, he was as a Bucs coach, and he'll be as a Raider coach, and certainly on Hard Knocks. But now he's not paid to be good TV, he's paid to win games, and I think they're on a long-term, let's move to Las Vegas plan. And you didn't sign, you didn't want to pay the money for the defensive player that you traded to the Bears and got the haul for. And yet you go out and get a receiver who I don't think is he's a top 10 receiver. I don't think he's he's better than Julio Jones or Hopkins, or there's others I'd put ahead of him. And yet, when's the last time a star receiver, that team won the Super Bowl, and it's not an automatic thing. I guess you got to go back to Michael Irvin, maybe Jerry Rice, way back at that area. I mean, Brady's won without that. Randy Moss didn't even win a Super Bowl. So that's an area of a game. You need quarterbacks, and you need defense, and you need good coaching. And that's why when the Bucs won with Gruden, they didn't have star receivers. It was their defense and some sound quarterbacking play from Brad Johnson. So I'm a little, I'm not sure where that organization is going. I mean, he's got control. He's got the long-term contract. He got all the people he wanted in place. And I think that he's just taking his time to get the people he wants. So when they open the stadium in Vegas, they'll be contending. And I don't know if he can automatically flip the switch on that. And he doesn't, my impression is, and maybe you've seen this and you'll see more of it, but it's in and around the league that he's just, here's another quarterback. Seems like we're talking about each one of these guys the same way. He's not sold on Derek Carr. I was when I saw him play. I did it in some of his first games in the league and under different coaching with Del Rio. But that's an issue. If you're not happy with that guy, then are you starting over with a quarterback in the next year? We're trying to trade him, get more draft picks. So I'm not sure. I'm not seeing the game plan. Hopefully Gruden has it the way he wants it from his point of view, but I'm not seeing it yet.
Do you see Jerry Jones caving anytime soon in regards to, let's just stick with Ezekiel. We can go through all three, meaning, Dak Prescott and Amari Cooper. But just with Ezekiel Elliott, do you think he will be playing for the Cowboys in week one? Will Jerry Jones cave? And if he does, what do you think the price will be?
Yeah, that's a good, I don't think he'll, this is just my guess. And I was up at, training camp. I haven't followed the situation as closely financially with agents. But having history with Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones, I don't think Cave, if he's going to be in for week one, it's going to be something, some other arrangement. So if I had to lean, and this is a 50-50, maybe going 51-49, I would say he's not in, he's not ready for week one. And I think the priority, and I know you want to just go to Elliott because he's key, but the priority, and this is how Jerry's thinking, is big picture. I got to get Dak Prescott settled and signed because this is who we want, and he's a model citizen for our franchise. And Cooper would be third on that list with Elliott, but Elliott has had some other issues, even though we know he's led the league in rushing two of the last 3 years and really benefits from that great offensive line that Dallas had. But you remember DeMarco Murray, you know, plugged in. Now, Jerry Jones thinks, hey, we can plug in any kind of back behind this line and we're going to get those numbers, he's wrong. And I don't think he thinks that, but maybe he'd like to give that illusion to Elliott and to his agents. So I think eventually they'll work it out, but I don't see it happening for week one if Elliott sticks to his guns. And I think that could be a problem because the Cowboys have, I think, a very good defense, a defense good enough to win in the NFCs and win that division, but I think their offense, and with a new offensive coordinator, I'm not sold on Kellen Moore, and Jason Garrett in a lame duck year as a head coach, I think that can create some further problems. And that may be something on the mind of Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones in the bigger picture that we're not even aware of, and then that may have something to do with how they allot money for Elliott.
Very interesting. Yeah. Chris, the Andrew Luck story seems to me to have some parallels to the last time he was injured with a shoulder. We got owners and GMs saying, oh, yeah, it's fine. It's a process. Then the injury keeps changing a little bit. Yada, yada, yada. Andrew Luck is out for a long time. Now they're even speculating he might not be ready for the regular season. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I'm a little shocked. We did one of their games last year, sat with Luck, and he was talking about how he was feeling better and on his way back, and he played well. It was a game against the Eagles. They lost, but he played well enough and seemed healthy enough. And now apparently there's been a physical regression. There was always a little doubt, you know, in his mind and in the franchise and in the medical people, the mind of the medical people with him, that, you know, yeah, you can come back, but to what degree are you going to be back the way you were? And not being a doctor as inclined on the physical part, the fact that they're saying he may not play in the preseason, and even ownership at Irsay is aware of this. I think that they need to start. It's not panic here, but they need to stay on this and have the right guy in place if he's not going to be healthy enough or if there's going to be doubt down the road. Because they go from a playoff slash really Super Bowl contender, the way they played defense and as well coached as they were, to a team that who knows if he's not able to go. And that's a major drop off in a division that's very winnable for them, given some other teams that are improving.
Well, Chris, it's always a pleasure to have you on, and I always appreciate you making time for us. We are a Bucks radio affiliate here, so do you know the first month of the NFL regular season? Are you getting any Bucks games already?
Yes, actually, I have. I opened Daryl Johnston and I. Of course, I do the Bucks preseason TV, WFLA, on the affiliate with Rondé Barber, mm-hmm. who, by the way, is going in the Ring of Honor week three, and we're happy for that, well-deserved. But Daryl Johnston and I, we opened the season with the Rams at Carolina, but week four, we do have the Buccaneers out in Los Angeles to play the Rams, the defending Super Bowl champions. So I know that's on our schedule, and I'm excited about that.
A nice home game for you, too. Well, we'll call you that week. We'd love to have you on. That'd be great. We'll see how the season's going at that point. Thank you very much, Chris.
Thanks, Chris.
Yes, thank you very much. Anytime. Enjoy talking to you.
Thank you very much. All right, that is Chris Myers from the NFL on Fox, MLB on Fox, NASCAR on Fox, and the Buccaneers preseason announcer for TV.
And he's, you know, we could have sat and had baseball conversation, too. He's real good. And
he's on the inside, football, does it all.
Does a great job on Fox with MLB.
All right, any of your reaction to that conversation or questions or thoughts, we'll take your calls and texts at 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. It's Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Radio Tinder.
I bet you'd swipe right on this show. This is Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app on a Wednesday afternoon. Flying out on a net here, Pete. Your mic's not even on.
There you go. Thank God. But he was invisible.
Hey, Chris.
Wow.
We're back. Where did you go?
No, we don't, play the buzzer
we don't,
for yourself.
We don't need the bumper music. We're already on the air. We don't need this. Jesus.
Knock on wood. This is a great song.
Knock on wood, Raiders.
Sorry, guys.
Who are we? The Raiders.
Doing some business stuff.
Taking care of business. Do it now. We got for Friday.
239-337-ESPN. 239-337-3776. This is a great song.
I had it teed up and everything, too.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I didn't have it teed up. I had it on the playlist.
It happens.
Whatever.
Just got done talking with Chris Myers. A lot of great football talk.
Nobody goes 100%.
The Dolphins and the Bucks on Friday on TV. We'll have it here on the radio.
Doesn't seem too high on Kellen Moore, the new OC in Dallas, and that whole situation, which I was hoping that Kellen Moore would add some, I don't know, some
pizzazz.
Some pizzazz?
Some sass. Something.
Left-handed quarterback, Kellen Moore.
Something to that offense, but we'll see.
He also had AB listed as a top 10 receiver.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he started rattling off. Because I think in a lot of conversations, AB, when healthy, we automatically just start him in the top three, don't we? Or am I overinflating?
No,
AB?
We have. No, you're right.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah, he's put up numbers that no other receiver has ever put up in the history of the game.
Yeah. But, I mean, he was quick to mention, you know, a bunch of different receivers before him. I think you have an interesting conversation with DeAndre Hopkins. I think you mentioned Julio Jones, and look, they're all in the same breath. They're just, you know, great receivers, and but it was a great conversation.
Odell, Michael Thomas,
yeah,
Devontae Adams, who I don't think is as talented as those other guys, but playing with Aaron Rodgers helps.
This could be the deepest star wide receiver list in the NFL that they've had. I don't know, maybe. And again, that's the direction we're going. We used to talk about running backs like this 10 years ago. Everybody, if you didn't have a 1,000-yard rusher on your team, you weren't doing anything. And
well, I mean, a 1,000-yard rusher is not that big a
it's
deal.
It's not. It's like 86 yards a game or something.
Yeah, it's not that big a deal.
Well, I remember when I had my Topps football cards, had that little logo on the 1,000-yard rusher.
Yeah.
Now it's no big deal.
Saturday on South says, breaking, Coach Ogeron wants to trademark the word yeezy-weezy. That's a response to Ohio State and their stupidity. They want to trademark the word the when used as part of the school's name or on university merchandise. Oh, please.
No doubt.
Unbelievable.
Lifelong Buckeye wants to know, Craig, how many games did the Wolverines lose this year? Zero or one?
I think zero going into the Ohio State game.
That's why I say zero or
pains
one.
Pains me to say it, but I think it should be zero going into the Ohio State game. And then we know what will happen.
All right, let's go to the phones. 239-337-ESPN. Chris in the Cape also wants to talk Michigan.
Oh.
Chris, welcome. How are you?
Hey, Chris.
Hey, gentlemen. How you guys doing? Long time no seeing.
Are you still up in Michigan?
Actually, I'm down here visiting, getting the last of my stuff. But, yeah,
oh,
I'm up there.
Good to hear from you, man.
How's it going?
Yeah. How's the move?
It's good. So I'm actually calling this thing because I haven't called in since all these beat writers and the Big Ten press decided that Michigan is going to win the Big Ten this year.
Uh-huh.
I wanted your big take on it. What do you guys think? Is this our year or not?
Yes.
I think we're beating Ohio State.
Yes. Craig says yes. Pete's a skeptic.
I think you're undefeated until you get to Ohio State or then that you're hosting. And then let's see who's hurt. Well, isn't it nice enough of me to say that they're going to be undefeated until the last game of the regular season?
Can't you just have a little faith in the fact that Harbaugh is making the right move and giving the offense up, which is a big start?
I grant you all of that. I said they should be undefeated up until the last game against Ohio State, and then
Ohio State's not beating us in the Big House this year. I'm sorry. This is redemption year.
Fact!
I've heard that before.
Redemption?
That's right.
They've lost four in a row, including two in the Big House.
Hey, I'm going to continue to say it because that's my team. I'm going to continue to support them no matter what.
I get it.
I feel this year is really – you know, last year was a good year, but the offense kind of sputtered at the end. The defense can't – you know, the defense can only play so long on the field with an offense that sputters. So let's be realistic. If the offense is as good as it's going to be advertised – who's going to stop us?
Chris, Ohio State obliterated that defense last year, and then Florida did the same thing the next week in the bowl game. Well, not the next week, the next month in the bowl game. Now, maybe Michigan wasn't as interested in playing same way with Georgia losing to Texas. I maybe factored some of that in. But they got humiliated their last two games of the year with that alleged great defense that they have. Are they scarred psychologically? Are you scarred psychologically?
I got season tickets, so I'll be at every home game this year.
That's right.
Well, you should get a lot of wins right up until the last game of the year, and then we'll see.
Oh, don't say that.
Hey, all right, guys.
Listen,
right.
Chris, even though you're up there in Michigan, listen on the app and still call on in the show. It's going to be a big year for your Wolverines. Hey, I want to hear from you.
You call in every Monday. We want to hear, give you us a Michigan update report. We'll probably be watching a lot of it anyway.
I'll call in every Monday.
All right. Sounds good, Chris. All right, bye-bye. 239-337 ESPN.
I think you guys are overlooking that Notre Dame game.
I'm not.
But it's at home. It's at their place, right?
It's at the big house.
Yeah,
at the big house.
All the big games.
Everything lines up perfectly for Michigan, except I think Wisconsin and Penn State are on the road.
Here's the problem, Michigan fans, and it's not just Chris and the Cape. I'm talking to all of you out there. I've been hearing this same conversation the last two off seasons, and you've disappointed both years. I'm not taking the bait this year. I'm not doing it. I put him in my college football playoff last year. Prove me wrong.
The year you jump off the tracks is the year the train's going, man.
That's fine.
Going to the depot.
That's fine. Yeah. Actually, I want to jump off the tracks. I don't want to get run over by a train.
Yeah.
Sounds miserable.
I meant you being on the train. The train.
Get off the bandwagon.
So right now you're not picking Michigan to be a playoff team. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, right now I'm not doing that.
I'm in. They're in.
Not if they lose to Ohio State.
Ohio State. Who are they? The Ohio State.
Now, again, that will bring up my chaos theory because depending on how – look, if they go undefeated, obviously they win. If they lose to Ohio State, I mean, if it's a nip-and-tuck game and they lose by a field goal, I still think they probably will get in, depending on obviously what happens with the other Power 5 schools. But if they get humiliated again, which I don't think they will at home, but if they do – different story. Now, Ohio State is going to take a step back. If you want to talk about teams going to take a step back, it's proven. We went through this. Bowling Green, Utah, Florida, Ohio State. More than likely, when Urban Meyer leaves teams, they tend to take a step back. So, and that's why they'll be a big underdog more than likely. They'll have nothing to play for except probably some minor bowl game or a decent bowl game.
Yeah. Ohio State?
They're not going to take him. They're not going to.
What?
They're not going undefeated. They're going to be a 3-4 loss.
I didn't say they weren't going undefeated. I don't think they're a 3-4 loss team.
I don't know. I'm just telling you the trend with Urban Meyer teams when he leaves, they tend to have a year off.
Leave the cupboard empty.
I see one game.
What?
I see one game that's losable for him.
At Bloomington, Indiana.
Maybe two.
There you go.
Maybe two. No, they don't play Indiana. Oh, yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Back-to-back weeks, the 28th at Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
I think Nebraska is going to be really improved this year. And then the following week against Michigan State. But they don't play Penn State until November 23rd, the week before they go to the big house.
Yeah, but that's
Penn State at home.
I've got a lot of respect for Ohio State and
the level that
they recruit at. They don't leave the cupboard bare. Ryan Day, we can talk about him coaching and all of that, and all of that is fair, but there's not a lack of talent on Ohio State.
True, I agree with you, but I can't get past the trend of Urban Meyer when he's left his last three schools, and if Ohio State goes like 10-2 this year, that'll be something. That's a hell of a season.
That's a drop-off.
Ryan Day was the coach last year for the first two games, right?
Three and oh. Yeah.
Including these are probably the two worst teams in FBS, but he beat Ohio State and Rutgers by a combined score of, 129-34?
You can't beat themselves. You said they beat Ohio State.
Oregon State and Rutgers.
Yeah. And then it was a TCU?
And then it was 15th-ranked TCU that they beat by 12 points. And now that was a neutral site game. I'm using air quotes right here, but I believe it was in Jerry's place.
It was in Jerry's place.
So that's really a home game for TCU.
Then they blew out Tulane at home, 49-6. A nail biter. They won at Penn State.
Come from behind win against Penn State.
27-26. Blew out your Hoosiers, 49-26. Blew out Minnesota 30-14, and then they go to Purdue and get humiliated. Not lost, humiliated. So is there one of those in their schedule this year? There always seems to be the last several years, right? It just seems to be one of those games. It's not how they lost. If they went to Purdue and maybe lost by a point or something, they might have got into the college football playoff. It certainly made more of an argument. But when you get humiliated like that.
I think the Nebraska game will be their Iowa and Purdue game.
Nebraska might be in the top 10 by then.
That's fine.
These are upsets where they against non-ranked teams.
That Nebraska game, let's look at Nebraska's schedule leading up to that. USA, I believe that's South Alabama. Oh, Nebraska should be undefeated going into that game. Nice. It's home against South Alabama, mm-hmm. at Colorado.
That would be tough.
Against Northern Illinois.
That's a win. Jeez.
And in Champaign, taking on the Illini.
Blowout.
I mean, they should
it's
be.
It's a cupcake.
It should be 4-0.
This does have night game written all over it. This has college game day, and I haven't looked at the schedule for September 28th, but I would think an undefeated Nebraska hosting an undefeated Ohio State, that has the college game day night atmosphere, which has been the bugaboo mm-hmm. for Ohio State the last 2 years.
Yep. And then they're home against the Northwestern. At Minnesota, home against Indy, at Purdue.
Let's see some of the other
games. That's a tough back-to-back, Indiana and then Purdue.
Then home against Wisconsin, and at Maryland, and home at the end of the year against Iowa. Interesting stuff.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to call it right now. That's going to be where college
is. IU fan, it was close to the fourth, Peter. I know it was. Fact, wasn't
that
Indiana,
was 2 years ago.
That was 2 years ago where IU was leading in the fourth.
It was the season opener. And I think it was the third. I don't want to get too cocky. I think by the time the fourth quarter came in, that freshman backup running back came in to start lighting us up.
Wasn't that the week zero game, too?
Yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah, it was Thursday night. Yeah.
I'll go ahead and call this. Yeah, game day is going to be Ohio State at Nebraska that week. In Lincoln, is Nebraska back? That whole conversation, that's exactly where it's going to be. I mean, the other big games, USC and Washington. SEC doesn't have a lot that weekend. Yeah. I mean, the best game is probably Mississippi State and Auburn.
You know, it'd be a fun exercise when you get back from your vasectomy.
IU, Michigan State.
We should go through the season and make our predictions as to where game day will be.
Oh, I like that.
Oh, yeah.
And then we'll put it on a sticky pad up there and we'll see how close we are. Now, I mean, it can change when there are upsets and different teams ranked later in the year, but I mean.
No, but that's what goes into it. You look at the schedule leading up to, and you kind of make it work.
That might be a next week exercise.
Yeah, and I keep forgetting. You know, we keep thinking it's just Miami and Florida at Camping World Stadium a week from Saturday. But it's also, you got your bailout game. You got your bailout game.
Oh, Arizona, love a good bailout game.
Arizona's at Hawaii.
Oh, yeah.
At 10:30.
That'll be the bailout game of absolutely.
At Aloha Stadium. So you got a chance.
Yep.
Wildcats, 10.5-point favorite in that game.
What's Florida Miami right now? Is there a lineup?
This is just Florida off by of four? ESPN. The Gators at 7.
Yeah, that's about right. That's about right. They probably didn't know, you know, who's going to be quarterback for Miami. Now they do. It's an unknown.
Wow.
Jaren Williams and
7 tickets as low as $170.
As low as. It's pretty steep.
Well, it's some marketing.
Well, somebody said there was somebody. We had a texter call and said, "Oh, they were totally sold out." I went online. There's tickets for $140.
Well, this is.
Oh, no, I know. But I'm saying
you still have not procured yours.
It's not sold out. No, I will be.
Okay.
I got this.
I will be.
All right.
But that game is not sold out. You can get tickets.
Jesse tweeted at us, why are you so high on first-year head coach at Ohio State? He has to come to the big house and beat Michigan. That's a tough task. That's not exactly what I was saying. I was saying I don't expect Ohio State to follow the mold of places where Urban Meyer left and how they have a huge drop-off
season. Florida did.
Is it a huge drop-off everywhere?
No, it's not a huge drop-off, but it goes from, like, whatever, 10-2 or 11-7-5, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Right. No, I don't think Ohio State has more than two losses going into the bowl season, and I'm counting Michigan as one of those losses. Mm-hmm. I think that there's a ton of talent on that roster, and Ryan Day is... He's been calling the plays there at Ohio State. Now, I get it. It's a different deal being the head coach and the OC, but that offense shouldn't take a huge step back.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Pretty interesting.
Well, it's going to be very interesting. Just another, what are we at? Wednesday, Thursday, another 10 days, right?
Canada Moose Knuckles. I don't remember naming him.
I do.
calling his shot Harbaugh the next Dallas Cowboys coach.
No.
Interesting.
Sean Payton, you know that. That wouldn't that be something?
Yeah, that would be. That's a great name.
Another sticky pad.
All right, Jason, I'll give it to you. Go Noles.
Well, there you go.
Fear the spear. Roll tribe.
Fear America's team. Boise State. I'll take Boise State.
Gosh, I want Florida State to win that so badly.
I promise you that day I'm gonna get a Boise State shirt, something. Hmm. Something.
Is it blue?
It might be orange.
Like the turf?
Yeah, why not?
All right.
No, you know, I actually be rooting for Florida State. I hope they win.
All right, on that note, boys and girls, a look at the clock. It is time. Your stupid soccer game ended in a tie.
No, it didn't. Liverpool won 5-4 on penalties.
It says 2-2 on the
scoreboard. Yeah, and then read the bottom. Liverpool wins on penalties 5-4.
If a 35-year veteran sportscaster can't catch that, you got some problems with how soccer is scored and how they do the graphics at the soccer channel.
Well, they didn't score.
Never mind. At the soccer channel?
It says TBS, TNT, one of the two. Turner.
It is?
It's Turner.
Well, yeah, nothing else to show. There's no like I Dream of Jeannie reruns. They just show this.
Turner.
They do a much better job at basketball than they do soccer. Even though Steve Nash, I think,
Seinfeld
does some
on
analysts.
Right now. They'd get better numbers if Seinfeld were on.
Absolutely.
You guys get bogged down on the dumbest things.
Have you heard our show? Yeah, that's what we do. That's kind of our thing. Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Time for those parting shots. It's What You Got with Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN. Now, it's Sheeman and Shepherd.
What You Got brought to you by Twin Peaks. Another made from scratch menu and 29-degree draft beer. We got the new smoker selects like Carolina pulled pork sandwich and sweet and smoky ribs. It's Twin Peaks, eats, drinks, and scenic views. As I mentioned on this day, happy birthday to my dad.
Yes.
Happy birthday today, August 14th. He shares birthdays with Tim Tebow. Is it Mila Kunis or Mila Kunis? Just go
Mila.
She's pretty.
Oh, yeah.
Meg.
Don't get me started on that.
Meg. Ashton Kutcher dumped Demi Moore to go marry
her.
She was
on the top of my list for a while.
Top of your list?
Yeah.
Until you got married?
Black Swan.
No, the hall pass.
Black Swan.
Every couple has a hall pass list.
Really?
She was at the top for a very long time.
Huh. Who was your wife's hall pass for her?
Strange, and I feel weird saying it out loud because the age difference is kind of creepy.
Yeah.
George Strait. Ugh. Not anymore, but that's who it was for a very long time. Old enough to be her grandfather.
Magic Johnson and Steve Martin. Birthday today. So happy
wild
birthday.
Wild crazy
everybody.
Guy.
Absolutely. Pete Shepherd, what you got?
Well, I'll update you on the polls we had out today. Pretty good response at 99.3 ESPN Radio. When you see Charles Woodson, what do you think of first? It being a Raider, Packer, or Wolverine? 58% say Raider. 34% say Wolverine. Only 8% say Packer.
Really? That surprises me a little bit. Okay.
So he won his Super Bowl with.
Who's most likely to play week one? Our second question. Ezekiel Elliott, Antonio Brown, Andrew Luck. Antonio Brown at 58%. Ezekiel Elliott, 25%. Andrew Luck at 17%.
Wow.
AB. Business is booming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Very good. Chris, what you got?
I didn't think we'd have enough time to get to me.
So you skipped it?
So I didn't really do that much work into it. I will make a public service announcement because I know that some people will forget this little piece of news.
Yeah.
Big Brother changing times tonight.
Oh,
no longer on
God.
At 9 o'clock. Going to be on at 8 o'clock CBS. That's where my eyes will be tonight.
Not a good half hour for you. No, no, no bumper
what
music.
What are you talking?
Back.
Well, no,
you weren't
no,
here for part
right.
of it.
No, you're right. This was not a great half hour for me. I'm just so used to having to defend myself that I. Never mind.
I know. I understand.
By the way, Jimmy Garoppolo today.
Yeah.
Threw five consecutive interceptions.
Consecutive.
Porn star Jimmy.
Two to more. One Sherman, one Tart, one Witherspoon.
So you know, like,
I did break the streak with a touchdown to Jalen Hurd.
So he goes out there, throws a pick, and sends the offense back out there
throws a pick. He'll go back out there again, throws a pick, and does it two more times. That's a bad day at work.
Not good.
What we got tonight? Any baseball?
Yeah, we got Pirates Cubbies.
All right, we got Sarah Spain for a few minutes?
Maybe.
All right. For Chris.
Maybe it's not.
Red Sox won early today, 5-1.
Pete Shepard. I'm Craig Sheeman. Another all-star performance by me. God bless America, everybody.